48. Hayden. I feel like we were just doing this a few hours ago, Hicks said as Hayden emerged from the armory. He had traded the full combat armor from his last mission for a bodysuit beneath his clothes, and his helmet for his custom-made sunglasses, leaving behind the star-shaped comm and the plastic star that revealed his identity. It was possible he might need to do some questioning or enter a populated area without raising too much suspicion, and appearing as anything more than a solitary wanderer would make that especially tricky. We were just doing this a few hours ago, Hayden replied, hopping into the helicopter. The rest of the Rangers were buckled in behind Hicks, and they waved to Hayden as he entered. Let's hope we can avoid anything too crazy this time. Pause that, Hicks said. Hayden tapped the side of the glasses to activate the comm. Remember, we need to take the perp alive. If he's got a Koron in him, he's going to be stronger and faster than an ordinary human. He leaned forward and tapped on Bronson's shoulder. Let's go. The pilot gave him a thumbs up and then increased the throttle on the chopper, lifting them into the air. They continued to ascend into the darkness over the tops of the nearby buildings before vectoring northeast, up and over the bay. Tell me more about the situation, Hayden said. The farmer's name is Josias Colombo, Hicks said. His wife's name is Rosa. She's 32 years old, slim, big chest. He paused. His words, not mine. Long dark hair, brown eyes. She was wearing a long sleeve shirt, brown cotton pants, and a straw hat. He was surprised he didn't find the hat. Went missing 2 days ago. It took him that long to get down here on horseback. What happened to the water taxi? He didn't want to leave his horse. His wife is missing and he didn't want to leave his horse? Hicks smiled and shrugged. What else? There's a small settlement about 10 clicks from his farm. It used to be a winery or something, but now the farmers all go there to drink and trade with scavengers passing through. He was worried she was trafficked through there and already passed back east out of the UWT. Towards Salt Lake City? Hayden asked. We've got eyes out that way. Further north. It seems word has spread that Ports is clear, and Seattle is thinned out. There are still nests in Seattle. Smaller ones. You know the criminals would rather take their chances with Trife than get too close to us. Let's add Seattle to our to-do list. I think we're out of space on the to-do list. Hayden smiled. They were perpetually out of resources for everything he wanted to accomplish. One thing at a time. The helicopter continued northeast, crossing the water and continuing into more open space. Is that Alpha? Jackson asked, pointing out into the distance. Hayden looked out that way, finding the silhouette of the Goliath in the distance. Only the upper half of the giant was visible past the hills. Too small to be Alpha, Hayden said, referring to the largest of the creatures. And traveling alone. He continued staring at the silhouette. It is a little closer to the city than I would expect. There aren't any Trife within at least 50 clicks of here. I've seen them this close before, Bronson said. Usually when their bellies are full. He'll probably grab some shut-eye against that hill. The chopper continued north, leaving the Goliath behind. Is that it? Hayden asked 20 minutes later, pointing to a long stone building in the distance. Large torches were arranged along the outside, while light from LEDs was visible glowing from within. A handful of horses and a group of customized armored cars sat in a circular driveway around a large, crumbling fountain.
Looks like it to me, Hicks confirmed. But since when do farmers have mod boxes like that?
Is that a bus? Bach asked, pointing to a dark area away from the building.
Confirmed, Hayden said, noticing the vehicle.
Like the cars, it was modified with armored plating and steel spines to help protect it from Trife attack.
I don't like this, Sheriff, Hicks said. That doesn't look like a farmer's market to me.
Me neither, Hayden agreed.
The setup was suspicious, to say the least.
Maybe there's something to Josias's fears about his wife being trafficked. Bronson, bring us in over there. Not too far, not too close.
Roger, Sheriff, Bronson replied.
The helicopter began to descend, coming to rest in the field beside the building a few minutes later.
Wait for my signal.
Roger, Sheriff, Hicks said. We got your back.
Hayden jumped out of the chopper and ran across the field toward the building. There were no guards stationed outside, and nobody had come out to see them land, even though the helicopter was anything but quiet. He understood why as he got closer. Loud, live music was blaring out through the windows, a deep rumbling bass escaping into the night. He could drop a bomb on the place and they probably wouldn't hear it. What the hell was happening inside? Hayden made it to the side of the building, crouching low and pressing himself against the wall. He laughed at himself, straightening up a moment later. There was no reason to act like he didn't belong there. He walked right past the open windows, the smell of tobacco, alcohol, and cheap perfume wafting out with the pulsing noise. They had landed at the back of the building, and the closest door was around the side. Hayden reached it and tried the handle. It was unlocked. He slipped inside, nearly bumping into a woman in a short, straight dress carrying a tray of drinks. She gasped and backed up, one of the glasses tipping over and crashing on the floor. The music was deafening, but somehow a bearded thug nearby heard the glass break and was on them in a second.
"What the hell did you do?" he screamed at the woman.
"It was my fault," Hayden said, getting in front of him. "I bumped into her."
"Is that right?"
the man said.
"That's right."
Hayden met the heavy's eyes, challenging him.
"You don't look familiar," the man said.
"This is my first time here,"
Hayden replied, breaking eye contact to look around the room. Wine barrels had been converted into tables, and men were standing around most of them, barely dressed women at one side or in some cases both. They were playing cards. Gambling. The man smiled.
"You got notes?"
"I got UWT chits," Hayden replied. "Are those good here?"
The man's smile increased.
"Hell yeah. Who told you about the wheat?"
"Josias. You know him?"
"The farmer?"
"That's right.
The little shit was supposed to be here tonight dealing cards. Do you know where he is?"
"Nope."
"Love the sunglasses, by the way,"
the man said. He held out his hand.
"Name's Albert. Sorry we got off on the wrong foot. Any cowboy with chits and notes is welcome here, as long as they like good booze, loud music, and expensive women."
He laughed.
"The girls are for sale?" Hayden asked.
"Rent,"
Albert replied.
"We bust them in from up north. They belong to Hansen."
"Never heard of him."
"You've never heard of Hansen? Where are you from, cowboy?"
"All over."
"Scavvy?"
"Just a loner."
"You want a drink?"
Albert asked, reaching for one from the woman's tray. She hadn't moved since the glass had broken, but two other women had come over to pick up the glass.
"No thanks," Hayden said.
The music was making his head hurt, and the smoke was beginning to clog his lungs. The drinking wasn't illegal. Neither was the gambling or the music, though he was starting to question if it should be. The women? Albert said the women belonged to Hansen. That made them slaves, part of the trafficking Josias had mentioned. Even if there wasn't a Koran involved with this, it needed to be put to an end.
"I'm not much for the music," Hayden said. "Do you have somewhere a little more quiet to spend some time with one of your girls? Or maybe two or three?"
He offered his most lascivious smile. Albert smiled back, putting his arm over his shoulder.
"I like the way you think, my friend. What's your name again?"
"Earl," Hayden replied.
"Earl, that's a good old cowboy name, isn't it? I like it. Show me the money and I'll show you the goods."
Hayden spread his duster to reach under it, the move flashing the handles of his revolvers. He noticed Albert noticing them, but the man didn't say a word. Not until he produced an entire roll of UWT chits. Albert's eyes lit up at the sight of them.
"Where did you get so many chits?"
Hayden widened his smile.
"I do the dirty work because it pays well."
Albert laughed again.
"You need to meet Bryant. Follow me."
Hayden trailed Albert as the man led him through the first room and into the next. The music was originating from there. four huge speakers connected to amps, which were connected to the band's instruments and a laptop. Cages flanked the group, women dancing inside them. They were putting on a show, but Hayden could see the fear in their eyes and the tension in their faces. A dozen men were watching the show, dancing with more girls intermingled among them. The bus probably seated at least 60, and it seemed to have arrived full.
"How long has the wheat been in operation?"
Hayden asked as they crossed the room, shouting into Albert's ear.
"About 6 months. You can thank Sheriff Duke for clearing out the trife. He made this all possible."